Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You're up there in the Mid-Atlantic this year.
Are they?
All right.
So giant, listen, big guys.
We have, honestly... We got a ton of questions on the sheet.
Run them.
And I'm going to start. Carlene and I are just going to start
just
running these
them
things.
Out. We'll go quick on them.
Yeah. And because I want to, because there's we'll a lot, there's to. A lot of good stuff in these questions too. And you want to fire one off there? You got your buddy Jimbo on there asks a question.
Well, who really is the Connected by Water Rib Barbecue King? And why is it Jim the Reaper Rubik?
The Pig Reaper. Jim Rubik.
But
there's a caveat to this that Carlene wants to mention. We don't want this to die.
You know,
we want
I love your happen. Meat, okay? But we may have a challenger.
Ooh.
Dennis, I'm segueing, baby.
So Chippy Sheehan was in here a few months ago. And he came in with Angela and
Trigger
and Anthony and Tigger was here, and Anthony from Pelagic came in. We did like a whole bunch. We did a party. So unannounced, Chippy brings these ribs in that he made.
She sounded like something just happened over there.
Dude, they were good. And...
Maybe
Chippy, but you know Chip.
Yeah.
Chip wasn't backing down from that. He goes, "You're goddamn right, they're good. You know, it's like, I made them. I do this, I do that.
So
if you tell that
off.
Boy Rubik of yours, I'll challenge him any
wow,
day. Right
that
there.
Delivery.
He said
like,
I'm
right.
in.
I'm See?
In.
I was
yeah. And he challenged him right on the show. We were recording and everything.
I'm not
and
scared.
So he wants to do a thing. So we want to really kind of resurrect this.
I'm hungry. So
that sounds like a good podcast just in that.
Yeah, so we're going to resurrect this. So we are going to do this episode. Jim, I already talked to Jim about it, and he says, yes, he'll do it. And then Chip obviously wants to do it. So we have to figure out a way to arrange this.
Tomorrow
I'd love
at
you
five?
Guys to be there. I don't know. We got to get in front of this a little bit. So this is probably going to be like a... Like an October thing.
That could be and like an open house party type thing.
So we could do an open house party thing. Maybe we can run the cameras or do something like that. And we could
Kick
talk
off
dolphins.
The boat
we can have our Dolphins episode then. Because we'll be in midseason. We
God,
could do a Miami Dolphins
me
episode.
So bad.
You and me both. It's such a fucking waste of time.
I fucking hate sports talk, man.
You have to come, though.
Are we going to have our pre-Dolphin
There's got to be somebody better.
Well, we won't be able to do the pre one.
But I will say.
We'll have to do a midseason
which
one.
Which one of these motherfuckers was right last year?
About?
The pre-Dolphins My man knows.
What are we talking about?
About your quarterback.
Predictions.
Oh, Tua? Yeah. Getting his bell rung?
I wonder who said what about that motherfucker breaking three games in.
Well, it wasn't
well,
three games.
No,
but...
it was like seven games in.
No, it wasn't. He missed the fourth game.
All right, well, listen.
What?
Yes.
Thought you didn't pay attention to this stuff. Anyway, listen. We're going to do a show in October. There will be ribs. There will be Miami Dolphins. We're going to talk smack about it. We're big fans. Right now, I'm a little I love our team, but I'm still not satisfied with where that offensive line is. So
I don't care.
I was reading an article on it today. They're I think they're done with Eichenberg. They're gonna put him to like third string.
They need to hit the free agency market. Who's Eichenberg? And get another lineman.
Liam
Eichenberg.
He was supposed to be our left tackle. Mm. Then he went to left guard. Now I hope he goes left out.
Ciao, man. Ciao.
See ya. He's gonna get somebody killed.
All right. I think I know the answer to this question from Jason Gascoigne. Skipping art. What is your favorite thing to target when you go fun fishing?
Well, fun fishing. For me.
Yeah.
It's whatever I'm fishing for at the time.
Yeah. Whatever bites. Whatever's biting.
Yeah. What if you had to pick a fish? What would it be?
I mean, shit. It depends. Dude, me personally.
Yes.
I love
peacock bass,
sea trout fishing. It's one of my favorite things to do in the world.
Yeah,
I just enjoy it
because you're just catching them all the time, catching lots of fish.
You're casting, and it's my ADD kicks in, mm-hmm. and I got to catch a fish every cast.
Yeah,
it's so much fun. But I love sailfish. I love I really like the last few years have got really into dolphin fishing.
Yeah,
love dolphin fishing offshore. We've been down in Ocean Reef a lot this summer.
I've always loved mahi fishing, really. Ever since, from being a kid to now, I mean, it's just always just a blast to me. Gaffing a dolphin, having that thing hit the deck, and if it's like a nice-sized dolphin, I've always loved it.
It's almost like seal fishing. Like, you pull up on something, you cast, there you go. You know, it's like, yeah. I just get excited.
It's a fun fight. They jump.
Any kind of fishing, but it's really whatever I'm fishing for at the time, but I really enjoy sea trout fishing.
Casting on fish and showering ballyhoos.
That's
generally sails, but it's often mahis, and mm-hmm. we've caught the tunas doing it, and caught a few cobias doing it. That, it's not a specific fish, but it's that fishery, that style of fishing is my favorite, probably.
I got to tell you, one of my favorite things is one thing that Nick and I are about to do on Thursday is we're heading down to Chokoleski and going to go fish with Elmer, and we're going to be targeting baby poons and snook. Down deep in the glades. And
we did that.
Bring your fucking bug spray.
Yeah.
It'll be all right. We did that in Ocean Reef when we're in there.
Yeah. It's fun as hell, no doubt. Yeah. It's all fun. But sight fishing is where it's at. And the ballyhoo showers to me is.
You could take the whole year and
what are you giggling
go
about?
Through.
What are you giggling? What's so funny?
Nothing.
See, I think you could go through the whole year and the seasons.
Yeah.
And whatever's biting at the time. And how you catch them is what I want is my favorite thing to fish for. I love the mullet run.
Best part.
Blue marlin fishing is pretty fucking cool,
dude. I'm still very very novice at the blue marlin thing.
Yeah,
but we saw some big fish this year, and we had some fish up, and it's just like it's really cool.
Yeah, the colors and the size.
That's why I know guys that blue marlin fish, and they don't want to do anything else except go blue marlin fishing. Mm-hmm. They can care less about anything else in the world.
Sail fishing is an expensive game,
yeah,
but it don't hold a candle. No,
marlin fishing. No. That's the coup de grace, right?
It's a different level
of fishing.
Like you asked about our schedule this year, so we're probably going to do all of the January stuff mm-hmm. and the February, and we might kick off and go to Chubb and fish a couple of the marlin tournaments in Chubb, and then come back and do like the final sail and that kind of stuff and Jimmy Johnson.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. Chubb is so condition dependent. It's been funny. It's been it's just been inconsistent. It's a neat place to fish, but
they changed their ways down there though. It's like a big membership now. You got to pay a lot of money to stay.
Well, I heard both. You got to buy like a day pass to be in there.
Right, but it's like $20,000 for the day.
Oh,
pass.
No.
That's what I was.
No. It's like. I heard it's like $50 to have run of the.
Oh, that's a completely different. What somebody I think brought it up on the show last.
You talking
time.
About Chubb?
Yeah.
$20,000.
I heard something crazy like that. Like it's like outrageous, and you can't even use the facilities that are in there, like the pool, the restaurant, all that kind of stuff. It's like
you can, but you got to buy a day pass. That's what I was told.
Who was that talking about that?
Remember, it was somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't think they were talking about a day pass. There was something else they're.
Yeah, they're trying to sell memberships. I think.
Yeah, that might have been what.
But if they're having an event there, there's no way they're not letting people use the facilities and.
Yeah.
And do all that stuff.
So the second question that Jason Gascoigne had says, "Do you think Dennis would make a good sports announcer? And did you watch him doing the JJ weigh in live.
I did not, but I think, yeah, you got the voice for it. I think you'd be awesome at it.
And clearly the knowledge. Y'all are too optimistic about your specific sports teams. But
you can't not be. It'd be like you going to fish a sailfish tournament. Like, there's no fucking way we're going to win this tournament.
Yeah, but you're not actually doing it. I'm very realistic about that, motherfuckers.
It's, at the end of the day, it's all entertainment.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It gives me something to look forward to. Like,
it's all entertainment. It's fun. Listen, the reason I want to read that, because it's a guilty pleasure for me. I'm like, I thought it was funny he asked that question, because I always said if I wasn't an artist, I would get into sports broadcasting or get into like a sports radio show or something. That's part of the reason why I do this thing, too. I just love fun. It.
Yes, baby, yes.
You're Come a freaking on. Bills fan. So you can't talk about it. No, nothing. Get out of here.
Four-time bridesmaid.
0-4.
Yeah, but I got there four times in a row.
Whatever. Jim Kelly, I was thinking about this the other day because people were talking about Joe Montana and the greatest quarterbacks ever, blah, blah. You imagine if we would have been flip-flop 4-0 for Jim Kelly? We'd be talking about him like he was
the best of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yep.
That game.
But for me personally, when football season rolls around, it's like, all right, fall's getting here. It's going to start getting a little cooler. Sailfish season's coming.
It is greatest time of year.
It's my favorite.
No doubt about it. Greatest time of year.
I fished so much on the weekends last year, I don't think I watched a game entirely.
Skip, you do your schedule around it.
I plan our whole practice. Calendar out. If there's a home game and like we're going to a home game, we practice on Saturday. If there's not a home game, we practice on Sunday.
Don't practice.
We try to get back.
We
try to get back by noon, 12:30, so everybody can zip out. Or we just,
everything.
Just hang out on the boat and watch it on the boat.
Everything revolves around the Dolphins game.
100%.
Everything. Nothing happens during that. That's the window, man.
If there's a really good Hurricanes game on Saturday, I don't care what's going on Sunday. We're practicing on Sunday, you know?
How do you think the Hurricanes going to do?
I don't know, man.
I think
college is harder to predict than
very much so. Well, you're relying on kids. They're not professionals.
But also, you're not getting like real reports. I don't think.
Getting real reports, especially not the NIL. So now it's tied to money for kids that are unproven and untalented.
This kid's signing here. This kid committed here.
Yeah.
Unless they put the pen to paper.
There's way too much room for
error. I love how Art's like Charlie Brown.
I will tell you right now, sometimes I love just sitting here talking sports with Skip just to upset him.
Well, I'm out too, man.
You're not upsetting me. I just don't give a fuck.
I think it's fun.
I talk a big game, but I don't care. Nothing upsets me really anymore.
All right, firing through some more questions. Sharks. You want to ask this next one? No, me? All right. Tim Matthews wants to know Timmy.
Timmy.
We'll call him Timmy. What's your favorite Bahamas trip on the Helen S. and why?
So my favorite Bahamas trip, Tim will know, especially if he watches the podcast, was the family trip that we did, 89, 90. It's when I met Lisa, my wife, and all her family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they did a family.
That was a pretty good trip.
Yeah, they did a family trip, and the last minute they invited me to go. So
nice.
I was working, but
yeah,
that's the thing, right, dude. We call it.
That's
work.
You're probably better off. Maybe you'd be like, no, I got things to think
but
about.
But I was trying to get her cousin's number, and she knows it. So I
really,
that's
funny.
But
that's funny.
That was my favorite trip.
All right. Carl Schachter.
Schachter.
The Shaq Attack wants to know, now that Bud Light went woke, what is the new rally beer on the boat?
Oh.
So
good question. We haven't gotten there yet. We haven't had a season yet. So
for we had some tournaments in there after Bud Light went woke.
You guys did. I didn't.
Oh, we were in the Bahamas. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So Jay Wall, who fishes the right long.
Right.
Is a Bud Light devotee. He took about a month off, and now he's back to the Bud Light. But the rest of the boat is either Miller Light.
He really likes Bud Light that much.
Miller Light, Coors Light, Ultra, or
Ultra's Anheuser-Busch.
But it's not Bud Light. But it's different.
I don't think I think it's just.
And even the Modelo is owned by InBev too. Yeah. So it really makes no difference. But
I think that the whole thing with the whole the argument against Bud Light versus Anheuser-Busch proper is just all just like, all right, they're just focusing on Bud Light to make a point and
for sure
make a statement. I don't think they, you know, they want to crush Anheuser-Busch all together. You know, it's whatever.
It's crazy though. Did you see Sturgis and all these
nobody's drinking
facilities?
Budweiser or Bud Light or anything.
It's wild, dude. Yeah, it's wild. I could care less.
America.
They're not doing. They're not doing.
Cooking. America for sure.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. When it comes to drinking beer, I was never a Bud Light drinker anyway.
Yep, so, I've had a pile of them, but, yeah, but it's not my choice.
So it doesn't really affect my life at all.
See, Bud Light was my beer, and I switched over to Ultra. But I mean, that is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. I switched over long before the whole.
I like the Ultras.
Dylan Mulvaney, whatever Mulvaney, whatever.
That was the thing. Whatever it was, that particular trans human being that wants to proclaim himself to be a 10 or 12 year old girl. If it was just some weirdo that was transing, whatever.
For me,
it would have been a big deal.
I could have cared less about the whole transgender thing. Drink the beer, whatever.
Who the fuck? Who cares?
It was the lady that came out and said, you know, Bud Light's clientele is these old frat boys that have lost touch with reality, or not reality, but they're out of touch and blah, blah, blah. We need to find new market. We're like, oh, really, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, Dylan Mulvaney's a pedophile.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he likes...
That's the problem.
He likes girls.
I'm a six-year-old little girl, or a 12-year-old little girl, or whatever. No.
You know what the bigger problem is?
You're having fantasies about little girls, you're a fucking pedophile, I'm out.
Yeah, no, it's a pedophile. Listen, honestly, the person's not a good person. No,
you can't you can't be transgender and like girls. That makes you a lesbian, right?
Listen.
That's too fucking confusing for me. I think I'm a lesbian, though, aren't I?
If you're going to cut your wizard off, right? And then you like girls, that makes you a lesbian. Pass.
Your wizard.
Yeah, right. My wizard needs to relieve itself.
Here's
my
issue with the Bud Light thing.
Go.
Hold on, don't go anywhere. Right. My issue with the Bud Light thing was this. All right. Because number one, I really think it was someone in marketing that made a special can for this person.
Yes.
Like a novelty can. It wasn't a product that went on the shelves.
No.
Right. And it was, and ownership of Bud Light probably didn't even know what was happening.
Probably not.
My issue was their response to it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. They still are
failing. That was the problem.
Now they're getting all, like, they're all ballsy. Yeah,
they're ballsy about it. But they were trying to play the line and play the game and everything. It's like, listen, all right. Your customer base is going
to
fall for that.
You have to know your customer base.
Right. Exactly. And when they were responded the way they did, to me, that was the issue.
So at the end of the day, if you go to a gay trans bar, right? I could care less who you like, what you want to do with your life. How many of them are going there drinking Bud Light?
None.
It's a lot of Appletinis.
Right.
It's a lot of cocktails, Cosmos. It's not Bud Light. You know, they're trying to pander and try to be woke.
Yeah.
And the girl who did it, the marketing girl, was fresh out of college, fresh full of wacky college ideas, and I don't know.
Full of shit for brains.
There's no way that her supervisors or up and ups cannot have known that she was doing that. There's no way.
They didn't know it was happening. I'm telling you, they didn't. That's why I'm saying. Because if it were as simple as saying, you know what? That's something that we didn't know about was going on. Slip right by us. You know what I mean? We're taking appropriate
action. If they'd have came out and said, you know what?
The appropriate
this
actions
isn't how
internally
we feel.
But how does that go through editing without not somebody seeing that to be put on the line to the labels to be
No, it wasn't
out.
A problem. Their marketing team had the ability to make special cans and send them to like if they wanted to say, oh, Connected by Water, you've been a supporter of us we made one can for you and you could put it on your shelf. They had the ability to do that. So that's what they did for this person. Oh, you blah, blah, blah came out. You posted that you liked Bud Light and they're a thing. And you're this person. You have this huge following. Well, this person in marketing that followed them went and made a can and sent it to this person. That's what happened.
Yeah, the response is what really screwed them.
The response was it. The way they responded was horrible and poor as far as their customer base goes. Whether my opinion matters or not, it doesn't in this case. But regarding the way it relates to their customer base, it was a mistake.
The marketing girl, the way she came out and attacked the customer base is what really threw them under the bus.
Right.
I think so.
Right. 100%. All right. So, thanks, Schachter. Jim Steele wants to know, who is Big Sexy? We've discussed this at length many times before.
I miss Big Sexy.
I don't know.
I haven't seen him.
I've never met Big Sexy.
I haven't seen him in a very
long
time. I
heard he has a lot of fun.
He definitely does.
Funny.
Sleeps in strange places and has a lot of fun.
Bouncer Smith says, what years did you guys start tournament fishing? And what was your best day of fishing? Not necessarily the most or biggest fish, but best day of fishing. And when did you start tournament fishing?
For me, probably like, I'm going to guess mid-90s probably, yeah. Something like that.
I mean, I think that might be a loaded question, though. I mean, because is it, like, in my case, like, I tournament fished for a while with Double Diamond and Mosey On and all those guys, probably for, like, a chunk of, like, 8 years, like, hardcore, like, tournament fishing. But I've fished tournaments before that, like, here and there before, like, when I was younger, and a tournament here, a tournament there. But, you know, it wasn't until I was, like, older, like, more in my, like, mid-20s, early 30s that I really, like, tournament fished.
Like, I fished the rodeo as a kid as like, a 12, 13, 14 year old in the drift boat.
Right.
But I didn't really start tournament fishing like we fish till I was probably in my early 20s.
So I rode with my dad and Billy Curtis, the once was owner of Carl's Bait and Tackle down there in Lauderdale. His son runs it now. And I think owns it now. Bought it from him when I was 4 years old till the old man sold the Riballo. We had a 20-foot Riballo, so that would have been in 1978 till 82. Yep, for sure, 82. So as a kid, not just witnessing some really cool, amazing shit. And then in 2000, my dad and I rebuilt 31 Ocean Master, and we started fishing these local events then. And so 2000 till now really is what my whole tournament career has been, which doesn't sound like, you know, 23 years doesn't sound like that much, but
it's a lot of hours, it's a lot of days on the water.
It's a good amount. It'll be beyond, it's a lot of days on the water. It is a lot. It is when you consider the amount of days you are on the water.
I got to Mako, like I'm trying to remember what year that was. That's
what I can tell you. It was 2003. No, sorry.
That's
2005.
What I,
oh, no, no. 2004, and you got second place behind, by like a tenth of a pound behind Jim Oliver.
Was that 04?
Uh-huh.
So that's when I really started tournament fishing.
Yeah, that's when I really first met you and started.
That was my
10-year
anniversary.
Nice. Yep,
2004, for sure.
Best day fishing.
God, I love them all.
And it's got to be the hardest question to ask you, too.
It's definitely loaded. I mean, best day fishing, it's hard to say.
But it's not necessarily has to be the biggest fish, though.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Just like what are you taking home with you in your head? Oh, man, that was a good day.
I mean, I got to say, for me, I mean, it wasn't really like having all the kids in the boat and winning the trash can slam.
Good stuff.
Yep, my daughter caught a little mutton snapper on the black liquid boat on a trip to the Abacos in 2015. Definitely 2015. That was a great moment in fishing. Catching that big giant wahoo that just got trumped for a record for the showdown with my original crew and my old man was a great one. Winning that first rodeo was a great one. I was 5 years old. We were trolling off of Fort Pierce with my dad, and he had wrapped me this cool little rod with this little red ambassador. And I told him I wanted a horse ballyhoo. They used to have these little bubblers, these little plastic bubblers you'd put on a horse ballyhoo. A pink bubbler in front of it on this left flat, and I'm sitting there straddling this rod, and a real good bull eats a thing, and you know, I remember like it was yesterday. He said, "I'll take that. Let me help it." I break the fucking rod, the whole shebang. We caught the fish, but you know, whatever. I'm a child, a very small child, 5 years old, and I picked the bait, I picked the rod, and that fucking horse jumps on there. That was a great moment, great day.
Love it.
I mean, there's too many, I think, because I mean my start of fishing was all pier and snook fishing, and like I had epic nights like catch snook fishing, and like once you figured it out how to catch the bait and net the bait, and then you, all right, I'm gonna go here, and bong, you caught 10 snook. It's like, I don't know, once you figure something out, I think that's when it kind of kicks, and that's when it makes it so much better.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned you know, with the kids and Kira and stuff like that. I just, and since this is a bouncer question, I'm going to throw this one into the mix. I just had one of the best days fishing not too long ago with Bouncer and Bill Apri. We brought my daughter, Sienna, out on the boat, and she caught her first clown knife. yep. and seven peacocks all on her own.
That's awesome.
So, I'll bring it full circle. One of the best days fishing I ever had in my life was the first charter I ever went on. It was with Bouncer, like 2 days before he retired.
Oh yeah.
Me, Fishman, Curtis, and our buddy Rhett went, and we just. I mean, we caught fish, but I didn't.
Fishing with Bouncer is great. Isn't
it wasn't
it?
About the fishing, really, you know. Like I grew up, like Bouncer was Bouncer, you know.
Yeah,
it was like your idol. And then we did a few seminars together and became friends, and it was really, really cool.
He's so nice to fish with. He's so much fun to fish with. And it's the experience of fishing with him and the stories and yep. he's just always Mr. Positive but he'll jab at you, make jokes.
Oh yeah,
he's just a good guy.
I got a day that pops into my head on a regular basis, fishing the black boat off of Boca, and you catch that big mahi.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm so fucking happy. And that was a great day. Chad had a real lockup on him, and I don't know if you remember that. It the line parted, and it made this big like cloud of moisture. There's so many great moments.
That popped up for some reason. That picture popped up on my phone the other day. And my new mate was riding the truck with me, and it popped up. I looked at it. He goes, "Holy shit, that's a big dolphin!" I'm like, "Yeah, it was probably low 40s."
Yeah.
And I told him the whole story about we were actually making a move. I was changing the bait. I told him, I always fish the left short because, you know, left short doesn't get bit that much. So whenever anything happens, I clear out and I go grab a spinner and I go fish. Literally, next to the boat. I'm getting ready to pop my line out of the clip, and this giant dolphin just comes up and goes, eats the bait. I'm like, I'm tight.
We were just fun fishing, too.
We were fun fishing, practicing. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And it
was a great day.
I've actually, Doherty took the picture.
Yep.
And
it's been in magazines. It's been all over the place.
I've submitted that picture in like a couple of like dolphin, best dolphin pictures.
Yeah.
It's won every time.
Really? Yep. Nice.
Yeah, that was a dolphin. My old man and I. We were down in the Keys. That was the vacation my family took every year was down there in the Keys for mini season, and we're awake, we're alive, we got to go fishing in the afternoon one day, and I had netted a load of pilchards and still had them alive that morning and went offshore 300 foot of water. The old man is riding along. He says, "Did you see that? There's an X right back there. We got to start here." He's bullshitting with me. Whatever. All right, cool, whatever. Spread goes out. I was a senior in high school, summer after my senior high school, and there was no way to fly a kite, just enough to kind of drift alongside, pitch a flat line out stern on my pin 3-0 with a Newell conversion kit and a custom rod. He wrapped all our rods back then. It was a snook rod and a bottom rod. We snapper group or whatever with that, and this fucking beast goes to jumping 61 pounds, fish ended up weighing.
Oof.
Got it on my wall still. That was a phenomenal day.
Oh, that's the one that's up in your house.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. I'd like that. Right. I'll go another, like, in my mind, I'll never forget the first time I ever went offshore dolphin fishing because I didn't have the opportunity. We didn't have a boat. I was either on the pier, snook fishing, or the drift boat. My brother-in-law's dad, Hap, we always call him Hap, fucking Hap. You know, he's always like, he had this like old tri-hole boat. We're down at Sunshine Key. And nobody else wanted to go fishing, so me and Hap go. And it's a little choppy. I'm probably like 14, maybe. He's like, "All right." So we put these like little lures out, and we're going offshore. And he goes,
"Dragon baits."
Yeah, it's like when you get a bite, he goes, "Yell strike." I'm like, "All right." So he's driving along, and we got a couple baits out, and we're going, and both the rods go off, and I'm back there cranking. He looks back, he goes, "You're supposed to say strike, you know?" And there's a fucking dolphin everywhere, you know? And then we're big. We get back to the Sunshine Key, and I'm filleting him. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
"You're supposed to say something.
You're supposed
God
to say strike, you know?" You know, he's like, we're like this far away from each other. He's like, "You didn't say strike, you know?" Oh, I'll never forget it. It's so funny. Fucking Hap, dude. I love that guy.
That's great. All right, I'm going to fire through the rest of these here. We got so many questions today. This is great.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, so Jamie Bunn says, "How long can goggle eyes live on a trailer with bait wells on air in Key West?"
I knew where that was going.
Explain that one.
They could probably stay all night long if we're not in the heat of the day.
Baking in a parking lot, right? Yeah,
taking forever to dip herring in sardines. It was a great trip, though. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't go, you
didn't
motherfucker.
Go.
We'd have won
that's
some bitch if you had gone.
I was golfing.
Augusta.
Golf.
No, it wasn't Augusta. Was that at least the...
I was in Myrtle Beach.
Oh,
yeah. All right. Jason Barker.
I used to do a golf trip every year with all my buddies.
Right.
There was like 30 of us that went. They went to Fish the Worlds, and they called me and said, hey, can you come down and fish the Worlds? I'm like, dude, I'm going to be in freaking Myrtle Beach. And they had this the epic... Worlds.
What was that, like 2010?
It was a while ago. It was a year before the last year, right?
So fishing with them. So
2008,
2010, 2009? 2011,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it wasn't a year before the last because...
No,
because
we fished. I fished with Robbie. No, it was... No, because I fished with Robbie for a couple of years, two or three years.
Yeah, because the next 2 years, we fished on Jamie's boat.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about this next question because we're going to get into sortie stuff right real quick with this one. Jason Barker says, what is the most unusual thing you caught on nighttime sword fishing? And then he says, also, it's a three-part question. So what's the craziest thing you found inside a swordfish belly? He said lancet fish and angler fish would be his, but...
I've seen all of that, but I caught a sword that had a banana peel in its belly that still had some yellow.
Come on. Really?
We caught mangrove snapper swords with mangrove snappers in their guts and grunts, but that banana peel was definitely the strangest. Caught plenty of lancet fish and oil fish and escalars. The lancet fish are definitely the craziest looking things.
Those are... Someone, when I did the 365, where I did one, where someone asked me to paint one of those.
Yeah.
And that was really... That was a fun one,
actually. We
used to
catch them on the gear all the time.
It looks just like a space creature.
Yeah, big giant teeth.
So, all right. So, we talked about Bill LaPree before... When I say we took Bill LaPree, took Bouncer and me and CNN out and everything like that. Bill, by the way, runs a great operation.
Oh, yes. No doubt.
South Florida Bass Charters. He really does. And if you guys are looking, you got to call him early and book away ahead of time because he's very busy, but he definitely knows where they're at and he knows how to catch them. So
that's cool.
All kinds of exotics and all that. So just a little plug for Bill there. What's the advantage and why to pen baits?
Well, you know you got them for one.
Yeah.
There's no stress the morning of if you got them in the pen.
Yep.
For the scale baits, they're a lot hardier. I'm back and forth on the goggle eyes. I like, you got to have them in the pen because you know you have them.
Right.
But I don't like my goggle eyes being in the pen for too terribly long.
Yeah, I've changed my tune on that too. I like them about right when they're getting to that first feed, which is like,
7 days or so?
7 days,
5, 7 days. You can. I've learned you can start them at night. And they'll feed sooner. But, yeah, I like, less than 10 days is my preference. But sometimes it's not an option. It's if it's blowing like hell, you can't get out.
My problem with gogs, man, I have a hard time keeping them fat.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they eat a lot.
They get you can feed them all you want. They'll get these giant heads, and the tails get really small. They're so healthy, but I don't know. Yep. It's hard to keep them plump.
All right. Skylar DeMuth wants to know how many liters you're bringing when they're biting, 30 or 40.
Dozen?
No, liters.
30 or 40 dozen?
Right.
Yeah, because you never know what day they're going to bite.
Yeah, dude.
So I mean,
several hundred every trip.
Yeah, we always – I take ours and we usually tie a dozen to 15 on a spool. And I used to always put them in a Ziploc bag, but now I've been starting to
– You have an air conditioner in your boat. What are you worried about that for?
Yeah, true. But, I mean, shit, we got 15, 20 dozen at all times.
Yeah. I'll have...
Of all different sizes
Leader
types.
We have two different size hooks that we fish, and I'll have at least 150 of each to start.
All right. Good.
Always.
So, there's a little bit of a story here that you may have read from Brent Meckler.
I didn't read it.
You didn't read it. Okay. So, and I don't think you're going to remember this.
Positive?
Oh, yeah. Well, no.
Oh, shit.
Maybe. Depends. Subjective. Skip.
I think it's positive.
It's positive.
It shows Skip's.
So this is a good friend of mine, Brent, and he's a good fisherman, and he's a real estate agent, but he's a real good dude. He says, Skip, do you remember circa late 80s? You were working with the Hellenes, and I, a kid of about 12, hooked a big cobia. The lady a few spots down from me didn't clear her line. We crossed and pop.
Oh.
you really let her have it. And we were, and were very conciliatory to me, LOL, because I was so bummed. You offered for me to stay on the next trip for free. I miss those Hell and S days.
I do remember that.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Brent. So that's cool.
It's funny. A lot of times I don't remember the fish we caught. I remember the fish we lost.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened? The lady just wasn't budgeting?
Yeah, it's tough, probably.
Or was she doing, I was wondering if she was just like refusing to move or just
didn't know. A lot of times it happens where people, you have novice people out, they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, people get excited.
They see a big cobia going by, I got him on too, and they start reeling it.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
85% of the population, when the adrenaline and the intensity and everything fires up, they lock up. It's every bit of 85%. I'm married to one that when shit hits the fan, she ain't moving an inch. She's locking up. And that's 90% of the time, 85% of the time when I'm in those situations and I look around, car wrecks, whatever the hell all you see, people stand around just staring, locked up entirely. And that's...
They're locked up with their phone in their hands.
Yeah. If that even. So that's what you get in that situation when you got on the headboat like that.
Yep.
I got lucky and caught one on the headboat one time. We one of those Bahama trips on the sea lakes down there at Lauderdale. Caught a giant cobia. And on those trips, you're in the Bahamas, it's most of them. Yeah. But even still, people lock up and stare at you.
We are saving the best question for last.
Uh-oh. Does that mean we got the last one?
This is the last question.
How about that?
Stephanie Dana-Schmidt.
Ah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So your sister asked Skip and Art, what are your most special/memorable/proudest fishing expeditions? That one you will never forget. So we talked a little. It's kind of a different, I think, from the bouncer question.
I think I took bouncer's question this way, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually, maybe it's the same. Now that I think about it, it's kind of this. Kind
but
of
I could come up with a whole series.
So,
of other,
well, yeah, I think you know what the funny thing is.
You guys, there's a smiley face emoji at the end of this. Yeah. So does that change anything?
I got absolutely.
It's like, man, I've got so many fun and memorable and different experiences. I got to say, like, to start with, it would be all my own firsts and stuff like that. But then it was, you know, all the stuff with my kids.
Mm-hmm. That and all these charter customers catching their first of something where they're, you see the excitement and the pleasure in having done something and been able to be a part of it with them. Those moments are what keeps me going back with this charter thing, because it ain't easy to make a living doing this gig, especially right now with fuel being $1 million a gallon. And insurance being almost unpurchasable and everything else. But it's every time you catch something cool for somebody and they're so excited, it's incredible.
It's one of those things where, like charter fishing, if you catch somebody a fish like that, you can tell them. I used to always, my go-to line was, if you put a line in the water and you caught a sailfish or something right away, I'm like, price just went up. They're like, you could tell them, like, hey, now it's going to be a $2,000 instead of $1,000. They're like, whatever, I'll pay you whatever.
Let's do that again.
Yeah. But it's just kind of how it rolls, man. People, I don't know. But for me, I think it's got to be, I don't know. Like, I was going through all these emotions selling the Papa Top a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And I actually sit down and I wrote almost a eulogy for the boat. Because I love that boat. I had it for 18 years, whatever it was. Yeah. Or
wow, is that long? Huh?
I can't remember exactly how long I had it for. But, I mean, it supported my family, tournament fishing, charter fishing. My kids grew up on the boat. Yeah. I grew up on the boat. Like, my fishing career grew up on that boat, you know? And my nephews and stuff like that. But it's got to be all the memories of fishing on the boat with my family and kids and first sailfish for, you know, my nephews and my kids. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. That's the biggest thing for me. Like, memories like that is my family and close friends catching all their fish and stuff like that.
It's funny when on a boat like that, I mean, you look around and you see like all the chips and dings and scratches, and you might remember like, I remember that scratch and how that happened day. And
my whole, it's funny, the boat sat for like 2.5 years ever since COVID, because I sold my engines. I couldn't get engines for it.
Yeah.
They were just, you could not get an engine. And I was looking at it, cleaning it up, like the whole port side was just scratched from bait pens. Just you try to keep it off, and it's like after a while you're just like, what are you gonna do? You know?
Yeah, it is what it is.
It was a work boat, you know. But she's going to get all redone now, so it's gonna be nice.
We my dad and I we'd do the Bahamas stuff regularly, and you know, snapper group or fishing all kinds of shit. And we ran down to Orange Key one time. Would have been, I guess it had to be, what was that, storm of the century?
I know exactly what you're talking about. That was...
Was it October?
It was October. It was October.
Storm of the century was October.
Because yeah. I was stuck in Walker's.
Yep. So we were down to Orange Key and caught some yellowtail, snap, whatever. We did what we did. And we're coming out of Orange Key. It's 120 miles back to Port Everglades. And the first 70 miles was a dream. The boat did 20 knots. We just easing along.
Yeah.
Hunting mahis, whatever, all. And we hadn't seen anything, whatever. And you see this odd line of weather coming. There's no the VHF thing. You don't get any of that. And there was no forecast when we left 2 days before that of anything coming. Man, that doesn't look so good easing along. And then 70-plus knots of wind hits us off the north-northwest. It went from mirror slick calm to so fucking rough that it was a sou'wester.
Good thing you're not in a skiff.
We were in a skiff.
Whoa.
Yeah, we were a 25-foot. It was a sou'wester that Mr. Gold had helped us rebuild when the fuel tanks rot out of the thing. It got bad, and we're making like maybe 8 knots, and it's, you know, like we're changing our course a little bit, trying to get a little more west in it, just trying to get to where we can make headway. And a freighter's coming. Fuck, if we can get in behind this freighter, and now we're worried about fuel and everything else, we can, you know, get right in behind him and maybe make headway, get north enough that we can then quarter and get. That thing came and blew by us so fast that we couldn't make the mile to the west to get in behind them. It was so goddamn rough. And so whatever, it's a full quarter and we're kind of making way to Key Largo. And I don't know. That was 1992 was Andrew. I was at Isaac's the day before Andrew turned east and or west and came rolling through. We beat it home. So it was just after Andrew. So it'd have been like 93, 94, something like that.
Right.
Was storm of the century. And God damn, what an ass-kicking contest. But we got on the flat down there and basically Key Largo, and we're able to run. I mean, we were running in water that deep just trying to make headway. Got back into government cut, and we were both kind of, well, we beat the odds on that one. We didn't die on that one. So,
my God.
But the likelihood of surviving that, it was at best 50-50 on that one.
That's one of those days where you get in and you're just like,
oh, yeah. Excellent. But the bad thing about that one is that flat-bottom skiff doesn't do well in any kind of a head sea at all, or at least when we were getting caught by Andrew. Right. And I don't know if people remember, the day before Andrew, the weather was just stunning. Beautiful, slick, calm, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And we were anchored off of Isaac's. We'd done what we'd done, and I'd pull in, and we could always catch goggle eyes at Isaac's, and then we'd go catch some big kings and whatever, play around muttons during the day after catching all those goggle eyes. And my old man had gone to sleep, and you see this unbelievable lightning show off to the east, and he wakes up at some point, and we're talking about it. Man, that doesn't look good. And we knew Andrew was out there, but they had called for it to go north and off into the Atlantic and gone.
Stalled and just stayed there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, maybe like 2-3 in the morning or whatever, we're talking, and this is after my senior high school, I'm about to go to Palm Beach Community College, and Pop's, this don't look good. And he says, fuck it, we got to get here. We pull the anchor and start steaming in, and we hit the beach in Port Everglades. We sat the seas behind you. And this is the very next night Andrew rolls into Miami there and wrecks it. So we had a – but again, those type of lessons, they kind of teach you, you know.
Yeah.
You better respect it. Pay attention.
That was my first week in art school.
Yep.
Really?
We graduated in 92.
I was in Sarasota. Yep. Right that. And that was it. I think that storm of the century, wasn't that 91, though?
It may have been the year before.
Because I think we were juniors in high school when that came in. Because I remember the crazy swell just hit right off here.
Yep.
I remember surfing right past the lighthouse, right through the inlet, and right into 14th Street and all that.
It got so rough. Oh, my God.
And it cleaned up, though, at the end of it, though. It cleaned up real nice, and it, like, stayed big.
Wasn't, because I was in college, because I while it was still blowing, humping hard off the
maybe
west.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different storm. 93. A different Halloween. I'm thinking of the Halloween storm then.
Yeah.
There was a Halloween storm in 91.
Yeah. Because I went back up to school after that. So 93, 94, something like that. Yeah. It was storm of the century. That was when Andrea Gale went down.
Yep. Yeah, we got stuck at we were in Walker's for that.
Yep.
Wow. Long times. Yep, lots, but, you know, it's funny, man. it really, when you look back on all the stories and the storms and the, and just the different things like that, and you just like mark periods of time like that. I don't know. It's just, I guess, get into that, you know, it's cool to like reminisce on it. Like it was, but the Andrew thing was really weird. You know, no one thought that was going to hit us.
No, it was going off into the Atlantic. And as for
Hurricane Wilma was kind of a little bit.
Same thing.
When it was right offshore and it was, we didn't think we were anything bad. And it was a hurricane. It was a category one sitting out there, ran right through us as a three.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Absolutely wrecked the town a little bit. You know what I mean?
A little bit.
More than what we thought, though. Yeah, what's going to happen? You know, everyone got lost power for 2 weeks.
That's one that came from the West Coast, right?
No. Wilma was right off.
What am I thinking of? The one that came, it's like 15. No, actually, it had to be 19 years ago. Came from the West Coast.
There was two of them back to back. What was that?
2004, a lot of them came from the West Coast.
Yeah, they came.
Charlie and Francis and all those that came from that side. Yep. But there was like one every other weekend.
For a little while there, yeah.
And they wouldn't hit us during the week, so we weren't able to miss any work. It was just like, they were, like when you had a day job, like every one of them hit
on the
weekend.
I know it was 19 years ago because my daughter was 1 year old.
Well, it was 19 years ago for sure.
It came, from the West Coast and hit us as like a four coming across.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was
Charlie or Francis, one or the other. Yeah.
Maybe Francis,
yeah.
They banged it up again. They banged up their Naples and all that stuff pretty
That's
good.
That's how my wife and I really came together, Hurricane Wilma. And, it was in 2005, and it was in, and we had been dating for like a month. She had been pondering actually moving back to New Jersey at the time, and she was like, oh, this hurricane's coming. She was renting a room from someone, and she wasn't even really moved in down here yet. And I'm thinking, be your hero. You know, I'll grab a bottle of wine and a six pack and a flashlight and I'll save the day. And I think it's just the one. It's like nothing's going to happen. And for sure enough, like, all the power went out and this girl's like all alone. And we were stuck together for like 2 weeks. Like I couldn't leave her.
Perfect.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I remember like once the power went back on and like the gas station started to open up like 2 weeks later, and like none of us had showered. And, like it was in my truck and I looked over and I said, well, I guess you're not going anywhere. That was it. 8 months later, I asked her to marry me. Yeah. That was it. Hurricane Wilma is to blame.
Yep. That was a good one. At least with Wilma, though, we had that little cold front right after it, and it was
that
nice.
That saved the day. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yep. That saved the day. Actually, that cold front is what made it hit us.
Maybe it's Wilma. Exactly.
It must be it, Wilma. Push it right in us.
Yep. Didn't Wilma come from the West Coast also?
No, off the ocean.
No. Wilma was riding up, and it wasn't going to hit us, and that cold front came and pushed it right into us.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was gorgeous immediately after, cool.
Yeah.
And that was one of the banged up.
You see the stars.
That's what made Lauderdale Boat Show change their dates was Wilma.
Yep.
Pushed it back into November.
Well, listen, I think we've reached the end of our tale here today. Carlene, you still awake over there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
You're not talking about sports right now.
You're the best. She's out there checking like Buffalo Bills rosters and all their scouting reports. All right. And then, her husband used to pitch for Florida State.
I don't know. He was a baseball player.
Yeah. He used to hit. I asked him this week, and I said, what was your pitch? And he goes, my fastball.
Nice.
I'm like, yeah? He goes, yeah. He goes, I would throw consistently 98, and he goes, one time I hit 101.
Where did he go to school? Where did he go to high school?
Florida State. Oh, he went to Gibbons.
Did he?
Yeah.
Y'all are younger than me by a bunch, though.
So. Oh, he is.
Yeah.
He's 8 years younger than me.
Oh, you created a rubber you.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like someone's watching you while you're on the playground? That was me, honey.
So we split this episode into two, and this is the end of our second partition of that episode. So I want to thank everyone for hanging tough with us for two episodes in a row with Art and Skip. And
we went that long?
Well, yeah, we went 2 hours.
Did we really?
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
Traffic's over.
Hey. I know.
Perfect.
It's been a while. We had a lot to catch up on. But so next time, maybe we don't take so long to do another episode. Right? So
or finish it. Sorry.
Or finish it. You just did two episodes, my friend.
I love you guys.
Do you really, though? Do you?
Do you really?
I'm here, aren't I?
So yes, anyway. Man. So let's plan on getting together then just before sailfish season.
Let's do it.
Kicks in.
Absolutely.
We got a meat
cook-off.
But
we got the barbecue.
Don't forget, we got the barbecue.
Meat off.
Wait, can I say something?
The meat.
To Skip Dana's.
What?
Better half in the business, Liz Lizard? Sizemore's birthday
happy
is
birthday.
Today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Liz.
Good shout out. So. Nice. Good shout out. So we're going to have the meet off, right? Is that what we're going to call
it? It goes to the meet off. Calling it the meet off.
Maybe like, so
hey, Liz, we love you.
Jim and Chip's meet off.
Right into the meet off.
October 15th is a good one.
October 15th? Is that a Monday?
You want to do Monday?
No, we don't have to do a Monday. 16th. Not for the meet off. We don't have to do the. We should do that on a weekend so more people could come, right?
Yeah. You want to do a meet off and watch football?
Yes.
Oh, I think the
16th, I'm in Georgia.
Who do we play on the 16th?
I don't know. I'm looking.
I'll have to. Is it a Monday? Monday?
No, Sunday. It's Sunday. We're going to do it on a for a football game.
Daytime?
Yes.
I'll bring Mike.
Yeah. So we got a 1 o'clock game?
He said it's the 15th of October?
Yeah.
At Sailfish Sweethearts.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I get to do that one this year.
You fishing?
Yep.
So you're not going to be here?
Negative.
So we can't do that date.
So we'll talk about, what's that? Does this not make for good radio?
29th? I'm out the 8th and 22nd, so.
Dude, whatever. We'll figure it out.
I want to actually give a shout out to one thing real quick. And as I'm looking at
the do-gooder?
Yeah, I do have to mention the do-gooder. But I want to give a shout out to Maui. Because
yes.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. And I just got messaged. I have customers out there, Maui Fun Charters, that we do like all their apparel and their artwork, and they just messaged me. So we might do a program with them. We might do a Stronger Together program for them.
Are they okay?
No, they're not okay.
Yeah. They're alive.
For humanity, like people wise, they're intact. Yes. Right. They're good. But their business is devastated. Yeah. Maui Fun Charters, no one's really doing that right now. I don't know. I'll talk to them and see. But we do have friends here. Listen, no matter where you are, no matter where we're all connected by water, right? So we got to support our friends in Maui. There's a lot of organizations that are pretty legitimate that are asking for money. I know you can go to Pride of Gypsies, which is Jason Momoa's account, and he lists a lot of really good, reputable organizations that you can donate to. You can go to Olokai, which is part of our, they say Ohana. I'm not going to try to sound like the white American by trying to over-talk about it, but that's what they do call it, and we are part of it because they do support our show. They do support our studio. They have a lot of great organizations listed. They've been doing a lot of programs. If you go and buy flip-flops, they're donating a lot of money to the purchases that you make on their website right now. So go to olokai.com and help the people in Maui. And I know this is going to air. This is the second part of our episode. This is going to air in a couple of weeks. But still, they're going to need help. This problem is not going away anytime soon.
Cut and paste this section into the end of the first one.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we can do that. You know, maybe we can just launch that. And they're going to need help. And, you know, I know we're no stranger to this kind of thing with all the devastation that we have with hurricanes and natural disasters down here. So what they're going through, I think, is far worse than what we've had to deal with any of our storms. So, and right now, the word on the street is that they're not getting really much government assistance right now. We talked in the beginning of the show about we don't want government to do this. We don't want government to do that. I think this is one of the things we do want government to do.
Yep.
We want them to be there for the well-being of the people, indirect things that matter that are obvious that you can see with your own two eyes. It's like, yes, these people need help, and they do need help. So stay tuned for maybe perhaps some things that Connect the Water by Water might be doing, because I just read that message on my phone. It kind of hit me in the heart. That's why I'm talking about it right now. So. Cool.
Sounds right. Good.
Yeah. So we will stay tuned for the meet off dolphin game with Chip and Jim, and it can't be a home game because Jim will be there.
Yep.
Right. So it's gotta be an away game. So that's why we gotta work out a few details and figure out how we're gonna do that. And we gotta talk to Chip. We gotta talk to Jim.
Should be a Buffalo Miami game.
Think so? Think so, Carlene. Think that's what it should be.
You know, the only reason I'm a Buffalo fan
get your team in too?
Is because my whole family's from Buffalo, and I'm the only one born in Florida. And my mom came down as this big Miami fan, so I only wore red, white, and blue just to piss her off. God rest her soul. So I'm sticking with it because it irks you.
Atta girl.
It digs you a little bit, buddy. Dub Bills.
I'm the slide king. All right. So
do your thing.
Your ego is not your amigo.
The slide king, you fucking.
Always do your best, and at the end of the day, just let God do the rest. And do not ever forget that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, gentlemen, we are all
connected by water.
Thank you.